Boy, they're all kinds of mad at me, aren't they? I mean, good gracious as bodacious, this Ole Miss fan base is mad at your boy. I would be mad, too, if I were them. It's not my fault that Keith Carter doesn't know how to maneuver in the new age of college football. It's not his fault, really. Actually, it is. You know, Keith Carter lied. And I don't think that Ole Miss fans are smart enough to understand that he lied. Or if he didn't lie, he sure as hell doesn't understand what he's doing. But either one, it's going to be really bad for him. See, it's interesting when you go back and you reread the Clarion Ledger and Keith Carter, the athletic director of Ole Miss's statements to the Clarion Ledger. He states that, well, the reason that we need to sue Principal Umamyelen for a buyout, the reason that we need to sue Devin Harper for a buyout is because we can't use that TV revenue money for other players. Well, that's interesting. Because in the house settlement case, if a player enters the transfer portal and subsections D, E, F, and I believe maybe Z at the very end of it, in all of those subsections, it talks about that even if a player has a contract but then leaves and goes to another institution, the TV revenue money that you can use to pay players is still usable if they're not there. So as an example, if Principal Umamyelen signed a two-year deal, and in signing a two-year deal, he still went into the portal and went to LSU, you still are able to utilize the money that you're not paying him to go pay other players because that contract is null and void. But Keith Carter stated, I can't utilize that money. Oh, really? Well, then how do you not know? And this is easily, now that AI is a massive thing, you can go to AI and ask Gemini. You can ask Grok. You can ask ChatGPT. Because here's the thing that I did today. I used all three of them. Oh, and by the way, used all of those subsections in stating that he either flat out lied or he had no idea what he was talking about. But they are mad at your boy. They're mad that you call out the BS. Now, did Prince Will and Devin Harper allegedly sign contracts? Yes, he did. They didn't work in those contracts. Did Luke Ferrelli, in principle, agree to a deal with Clemson? Yes, he did. We've talked about that, but boy, are they all kinds of mad. The Ole Miss fan base, for what it's worth, I admire them for one thing. The thing that I admire them for is that they are going to back their guy, right? Whether it is at the Florida game this year when they're chanting all 59,000 of them because, you know, LSU has 102,000. They only have like 59, 60,000, whatever it is. All 58 to 62,000 Ole Miss Rebel fans are out there screaming at the top of their lungs, we want Lane, we want Lane, we want Lane. You wanted your guy. But you're backing Keith Carter because he's the Ole Miss AD. What you should have done is looked at what he said to the Clarion Ledger and being like, wait, we can't use that money that Principal Umamyelen voided the contract for? Devin Harper voided the contract? So either you lied or you just don't know what you're talking about, because literally in the House settlement case, it states that if a player voids a contract, that you're not held liable and can use that money to go and pay players to bring in the best team for you. So which one is it? See, you can come at this and say, which is the only defense for Ole Miss, they signed a contract, they need to pay a buyout. They signed the contract. Sounds good. I thought you had money. I thought your daddy was an attorney that worked for Goldman Sachs. Well, Blake, Goldman Sachs is not an attorney. They don't have attorneys. You mean to tell me that Goldman Sachs doesn't have attorneys? My daddy works for Goldman Sachs, head ass. You don't know what you're doing. What you should have done before you open your mouth is find out if we are legitimately doing the right thing, are we sure that we can't utilize that money? It's not your fault, right? It's not my fault. But today, obviously, after live shows, we start clipping things, right? Jack and the team, they start going out there and they start clipping stuff and they put it on social media. Boy, they're mad. And they thought that I would be mad. No. I'm not mad. Why would I be mad? You clipped a video that we use to go and get it views. Why would I be mad? Because I know all the things that you're going to say about me. He's a loudmouth. He's a dummy. Some of you use words that I can't repeat on there. You say I use Ozempic. Well, I'll give you full access to any medical records. I will sign it over and bet you $50,000. Do it. To any Ole Miss fan that wants to bet 50 grand right now, I will sign you over every single medical record that I've ever had. Bet the 50 grand. Since we're talking about contracts and documents, why don't we go sign a contract? I'll let you use your own attorney. Use your own attorney to strike up a contract for $50,000. I'll show you that I have it. I will show you that I got it in liquid cash. I'll even put it up and let your attorney hold on to it so that when you lose, well, I get my money back and I get yours. They're mad because they don't understand. And people are always mad on things that they don't understand. If they would have listened, they would have understood that either he flat out lied or he has no idea what he's talking about. Now, the only argument that you're going to hear moving forward is that they agreed they should pay. Okay, sounds good. What are you going to do if they don't? That's the question I have. What are you going to do if they don't? You going to sue players? Go right on ahead, please. I don't think LSU is going to pay it. I don't think they're going to force Prince Will or Harper to pay it. Why should they? They didn't play the season. The contract can be null and void. You didn't pay them for this season. Here's the funny thing about this. Guys, they want buyout money for monies used for this season. Prince Will hasn't played for Ole Miss. They haven't played for Ole Miss this year. Harper did not play for Ole Miss this year. So when you look at this, you can use that TV revenue money. I don't know why you think you can't. The House settlement case literally shows you that you can. I will provide the documents for you to show you that you can use it. And they want a buyout for this season. I thought y'all had money. I thought your daddy worked for Goldman Sachs. Your athletic director, whether you want to hear this or not, completely fumbled the situation with Lane. He couldn't keep him because he didn't know what to do. He got outmaneuvered by a first-time athletic director, even though Verge isn't necessarily a first-time athletic director. He got outmaneuvered by Verge. He got outmaneuvered by Scott Ballard. He got outmaneuvered, quite honestly, by the board. They got outmaneuvered by LSU's booster base. It's hard to accept when somebody is better than you. And I get that's what you're going through right now. I understand it. I get it. But the bottom line remains is maybe you should look at the House settlement case yourself and figure out for yourself if what he said was the truth. Because what you're going to find is that he either lied or he has no idea what he's talking about. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook by using the YouTube link. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Wherever you listen to podcasts and share to your social media pages, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're doing us a favor, if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button down below. I go out today. I'm in the gym. Somebody's like, man, I was listening to you last night. He was talking about this Ole Miss thing. And he was like, look, man, I watched. And I looked down below and I saw he wasn't subscribed. I'm like, brother, you better hit that subscribe button. So I need all of you to do me a favor right now. I need you to go down below, hit that subscribe button, send this video to all of your friends saying, hey, man, you got to subscribe. Blake covers LSU. You need to come and be a part of the community. tell them to do that. I greatly appreciate y'all doing that. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're on the Twitter page, hit that retweet button as well. We greatly appreciate it. All right. Dylan Quaid, which, Dylan, we just got your stuff in. We're going to be mailing you your stuff tomorrow. So Dylan has been giving us a lot of AYS YouTube memberships. I told Dylan that because he sent like 55, 60 of them, that I'm sending him some merch. So it's literally sitting right here on my desk. We're going to, Dylan, I am sending you the merch tomorrow. I got all of your contact information, but he gives us five more AYS sports memberships. So five of you watching this video today are going to be able to get memberships on YouTube. And it's going to be really fun because tomorrow you're not going to want to miss it. I told you last week you weren't going to want to miss the YouTube members only content. And a lot of you became members. You're not going to want to miss tomorrow morning. I promise you that. That is for sure. Demi also did the same. Demi, DM me your address on Twitter. But he also gifted five AYS sports memberships. So 10 of you are going to be getting memberships on the YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you both so much. I do greatly appreciate it. But Dylan, for sure, your stuff's going in the mail tomorrow, your merch. David with a $5 super chat says, it would be great if Lane would pay $1 million with his personal check. I'm sure if it came down to it, he would. I'm sure if it came down to it, he 1,000% would do it. I don't know if LSU is going to – I think they're going to tell him not to do it. Force the hand of Keith Carter. Force his hand. I came up with some petty things yesterday saying that if, you know, LSU beats Ole Miss on September 19th, if I'm Virg Allsbury, I'm giving him a check at the 50-yard line. Tell him, here you go, little brother. That's exactly what I would do. But that's what I would do. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe he will, David. I have no idea. Sue him. Because the first thing that LSU is going to do is say, well, didn't y'all do the same thing with Clemson? Because there was a contract agreed in principle with Luke Ferrelli. Well, it wasn't signed. Guys, y'all better go. You better go and look at some of the cases over the last couple of years where you've had situations where verbal binding contracts have been upheld in the court of law. Just throwing that out there. Better make sure. All right, we got a lot of people in here as well. Mickey, says he's in the 318 Shreveport. Good to have you in here with us. Where is everybody watching from tonight? Are you like Mickey? Or are you in the 318, 31 great? Are you in the 337? Are you in the 985, the 225, the 504? Are you outside the state, but you're from the state and you love LSU? Let us know inside the chat where you are watching from. Tech Phenom says, can't wait for SEC Media Days. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be a fantastic week, an absolutely fantastic week. I'm definitely looking forward to it as well. I'm looking forward to it as well. Hamp is in Meridian, Mississippi. Good to have you in here with us as well. Miss Vital says, get them, Blake. We're getting them. We're getting them. Stephen Young says, oh, he lied. Oh, 1,000% he lied. Guys, don't – how about this? Don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. Go to Google, use their AI mod, and type the following thing. If a player enters the transfer portal, I'll even go to Google and tell you what I typed, and I could go to – let's go to ChatGPT because I did ChatGPT earlier. All right, this is what I typed into ChatGPT. Can a TV rev share be void contract be voided and that and those finances be used for the following year if a player enters a transfer portal? ChatGPT says, yes, a school-funded revenue share contract, which distributes media rights and TV revenue to players, can be voided or financially penalized. So you talk about that with the buyout if a player enters the portal. It also states that in the House settlement case that the school using the revenue share model features formal legal binding contracts can be used to student athletes when those funds are then voided for other athletes. So you tell me. And in ChatGPT, it will give you all of the buyout or all of the subsections in the House settlement case. Do it yourself. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. Thieville, maybe. QB says, sends a whole bunch of crying face emojis, says, get them, Blake. Ole Miss fans remind me of the zombies on I Am Legend. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I mean, look at what they're coming after me all day. They think that it bothers me. You do this as long as we've done it, almost 1,500 episodes. What you going to say? Now you go after my family and kids. That's a whole different conversation. You're not going to say anything to me that no one's ever said to me before. You think I'm fat? You think I'm ugly? Sounds good. That means I'm not doing an OnlyFans account. I'm not doing, guys, if we were doing live shows on OnlyFans, I would understand that. We're not on OnlyFans. We're talking about sports. I don't need to be looking good. But all the honeys say I look good anyway. So anyway, Ricky Collins says hello from Monroe in the 318. 31 Great, good to have you in here with us as well. And Chance, as always, is in the West Bank, the best bank. And Tommy White to the show. I saw that, but they haven't formally announced it. But I would love. Ben Ruffino will freak out if Tommy Tanks is going to the A's. And good for Tommy if he does. Gandal, the ghetto, sends a $10 super chat, says, if Keith Carter was your defense attorney, take the blame. Isn't that the truth? Guys, Google it for yourself. It's not that difficult. He came out and stated to the Clarion Ledger that we can't use those funds because they left. The House settlement case says that you can. And who's going to sue you if you don't? They're wanting buyout money for Prince Will and Devin Harper for a season this year that they won't play in. Now, I understand that they have a contract. Like, I get that. But you didn't understand the situation. So don't be mad at us because you didn't understand the situation. I mean, you already proved that you didn't know how to handle keeping Lane. Like, is that not proven? Lane's not there. So it is what it is. All right, last one before we get rolling here. 318 West, who's been a member on the YouTube channel for 7 months, says, that last live was on point. Absolutely. We try to make sure that all lives are on point. Speaking of that, we got a lot that we need to get to in here tonight. The ABS system officially coming to baseball. We will talk about that. Also, there's another change that could be happening inside the SEC of a minimum 3 batters faced minimum if a player comes out of the pen. I'm not going to really talk about that because Baseball America said the SEC is doing that. We'll wait for that to be validated. But the ABS system is coming to college baseball. We'll get to that at the end. Burt Jones' jersey number is retired. Yes, people can still wear number 17. And we'll get to why they will, why they won't, or why they can or why they can't, whichever one you want to do it. Playoff edition. So last year before SEC Media Days, we did this, why LSU going into SC Media Days, why people will talk about them making the playoff, why people will talk about them not making the playoff. It's been one of our favorite segments, one of our best segments, ironically, over the last couple of years. So we'll get into that again tonight. So let's get moving here. Before we get rolling, let's talk about our good friends and partners over at 24/7 Sports and Go24/7. Go over to Go24/7. I was on the board all day today. I highly suggest all of you go over there and join the community that we are building. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Guys, if you go over there and start asking questions, I'm going to be in there on the board answering them. So we're building a great community. Over 8,000 of you in there per day on the board. Glad that all of you are a part of it. But use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll see 60% off of your annual VIP membership when you do so. So come join a building and rising community over at Go24/7 and 24/7 Sports in general. Just use that promo code AYS so they know that Blake sent you. All right, let's get rolling. We got lots to discuss. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you a new. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dream or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red Stick.
We're back.
All right, let's get rolling. So, former LSU quarterback Burt Jones is having his jersey retired, and his name will be up in the rafters, along with so many other greats like Charles Alexander and Billy Cannon and Jerry Stovall and so many others. But today, LSU announced that Burt Jones is going to be having his jersey number 7 retired. Now, some people were asking immediately when that came out, well, Blake, there's never going to be another number 7. That's not true. The number 7 can continue to be worn. It's only the only number 20 that is the only jersey right now that can't be worn. Now, if you're asking my opinion, we will get to this in just a moment. Number 9 and number 5 should also be retired. That's also just me. They're Heisman Trophy winners. You shouldn't do that. But Burt Jones, per LSU, is announcing that the 1972 first-team All-American, the Ruston Rifle, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2016, is going to have his jersey number retired. Clearly, I am too young to remember or have ever seen live the Ruston Rifle do what he needed to do. I did find it crazy today that I went and looked at Burt Jones's stats. Okay. And I was just like, look, man, I want to go back and see what Burt Jones did and all the things he did. He played as a true freshman. He played in 11 games. He played in 33 games as an LSU Tiger. And what was funny is that he never eclipsed per season over 250 passing attempts. And in today's game is so wild when you think about it. Some quarterbacks get to 250 attempts in today's game midway through the season, just like Garrett did a couple of years ago. He also threw for just over 3,000 total yards. That is wild. Literally, you're the last quarterback that you had the two seasons ago, literally threw for 4,000 in a season. But it was a different game, a different time, in a different era. Burt Jones was one of the best LSU quarterbacks of all time. What I do think was interesting is I went and looked at some of the old footage and film when he was in Baltimore, specifically that 1976 season where he threw for 3,100 yards and 24 touchdowns, and it was the league's MVP. Guys, Burt deserves to be anointed as one of the LSU greats, guys, because he was. You know, when we go into the media portion of like practices or go and talk to, you know, like Brian Kelly at the time or now Lane Kiffin, when you go into the facility to go into the team room, you have to pass the quarterback's meeting room. And in there, they have all of the great legends and quarterbacks, and Burt Jones is up there. Guys, he was an All-American. He was one of the better and special players at that position in LSU history. I am happy for him. I'm happy for his family that he gets to see that this, right? Like he gets to see his name up in the rafters for the things that he did. I wish that because I did not really necessarily have the time today, to go and see all the things that Burt Jones did. But there was a reason that he was called the Rustin Rifle. So to all of you that are watching that are old enough to remember Burt Jones and remember all of the great things that he did at Baltimore with the Colts, and for some of you that remember Burt Jones and all the great things that he did in his time at LSU, in his time, he was a special player. He was a first-team All-American at LSU before going into the NFL and being drafted by Baltimore. He was a special player. And, you know, I look at some of these guys like Charles Alexander, Billy Cannon, God rest him. I look at Stovall. I look at Burt Jones and say, guys, they really did lay the foundation. Like in today's game, we talk about the Honey Badger, of course. We talk about Booger McFarland, of course. We talk about Kevin Falk, of course. Like in our generation, or at least in my generation, there were so many people that did lay that foundation. But there was even a foundation beforehand. And Burt Jones was a part of that, and he deserves this. However, Burt Jones played his last game for LSU 54 years ago. And there is one thing, and I understand that there is a massive process to this. I get that there's a massive process to building statues and retiring numbers, and I get all of that. 54 years, a long-ass time. Guys, he was playing at LSU, and I wasn't even alive. Most of you weren't even alive. The only thing that I was fearful of for myself is that I won't be alive to see the day that Joe Burrow gets a statue and his jersey number retired. Same goes for Jaden Daniels. Guys, you have three Heisman Trophy winners and over 100 years of excellence. And I don't want it to be 2053. God, I'd be 63 years old. I don't want to be in 2053. We look up and Joe Burrow's finally getting a statue. Joe Burrow's finally getting his jersey number retired. I hope that doesn't happen. And I don't think that there's any intention for that to happen. The same goes for Jaden. Guys, Jaden was a Heisman Trophy winner. I hope that it doesn't happen that way. For me, I am glad that the number 7 can be worn. I think it's a significant thing that the best player on your team wears that. If you're asking me, I'd give Tre'Davious Green number 7. That's just me. But I'm glad it's still being able to be worn. I do think Brian Kelly kind of messed up the tradition. You know, that tradition was that the players decided who gets that jersey number internally. I hope that, you know, the players would pick Tre'Davious Green. And I hope that he kind of gets back to that. The only thing that I thought this entire time was is that I just hope that it's not 54 years when we see Kevin Falk or Glenn Dorsey or Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels. I think LSU's policy on this is quite honestly a little silly. You know, Oklahoma, as an example, wastes no time putting up a statue for their Heisman Trophy winners. You know, Baker's got one. Kyler's got one. I mean, all of their Heisman Trophy winners has statues outside of their stadium. Like, guys, why aren't we changing this rule? Like, I know that they come up with some fugazi reason as to why. Like, it shouldn't have taken you that long to put up Shaq's. It is what it is. Congratulations to Burt Jones. Congratulations to his family. And it's very much well-deserved, and I'm glad that he is getting in. All right. Tommy Casanova, I see David in there. Yep, another one, Tommy Casanova being in there as well. I just don't want it to be 54 years. You know, like Burt Jones, guys, the last game that he played was in 1972, and you're just now retiring it. I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that they gave Charles Alexander, and it seems that they're doing a little bit more now, and I'm glad that they're doing that. But these guys need to be, you know, come on. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Let's be real. All right. It's that time of year again. So every year I told you this is one of our biggest segments. It's one of our funnest segments because We always, before SEC Media Days, talk about the narratives going into the season, especially talking about the narratives going into SEC Media Days. What are the narratives going to be moving forward? I love this segment because the thing that you and I do is that we have a conversation about why they do, why they don't, why LSU will make the playoffs, why LSU won't make the playoffs. Normally, I give 5, 6, 7 bullet points as to why these narratives of what the talking points are going to be going into the season. Now, a lot of you know those talking points. A lot of these are not going to be new. This year, we're going to put a little bit of a different spin on it. We're going to give you the on-field football reasons as to why people will talk about going into SEC Media Days, the conversation around LSU at SEC Media Days of why they will make the playoff and why they won't make the playoff. Because you and I both know that these are going to be two narratives of people who believe that they won't and people who believe that they can and will make the playoff of why they will get there. Now, in this segment last year, we talked about the number one overall thing for LSU, that the only way that they are going to make a playoff this year or that year is that the season before, you just simply couldn't line up and run the football. It was your number one Achilles heel. I know defensively you had a lot of things that you needed to get done and you needed to be better at. Well, you fixed those things. Because as we go into SEC Media Days, and we talk about the reasons of why people will say LSU will go into the playoff or won't. Because it has revolved around one thing. For the way that LSU is going to make a playoff or won't make a playoff, so bullet point number one, we have five of them. If LSU still has struggles running the football the way that they've had the last 2 years, guys, not only are they not going to make it, you could find yourself being an 8-4, 9-3 team because you're struggling so much. The last 2 years, you have been abysmal. Unfortunately, you have been the worst team in the SEC at rushing the last two seasons. If there's going to be, and trust me, we're going to get to why I think you're not going to, like, number bullet point number one, while that's not going to happen, you have got to change the tone and the narrative around your program. You have got to change the overall demeanor of your program. You have to change the overall culture of your program. I have no worries whatsoever that LSU is going to get that done. I think a big talking point and a big narrative going into the season is going to be that, well, can LSU run the football this year? They were dead last in the SEC, and they were 16th in the SEC last year in rushing. Well, it's not last year. You have a new quarterback who is more mobile than Garrett. You have a new running back in Dylan Jones, who had a boatload of carries during the spring, and a second year with Harlan Berry, and a third year with Caden Durham. You have a more innovative offensive system that is going to be led by Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss. And in the last 6 years, in that time frame, while Lane was at Ole Miss, they were the number one team in the country. They were the number one team in the SEC at running the football. So as we go into SEC Media Days, point number one, you better find a way to run the football. Because if you don't and you can't control the game, you're going to be on the outside looking in if you can't, and you will definitely find yourself in the mix if you can. Now, it's not that if you can't run the football that you can't be a playoff-generating team. I look at Oklahoma a season ago. I look at Alabama a season ago. I look at Oregon, even though Oregon can run the football very well, throwing the football, they could not. So when you talk about one-dimensional teams, there have been teams in the SEC over the last 2 years in a 12-team playoff that have found themselves in the playoffs by not being able to run the football at all. I look at Texas, who when they went up against Georgia twice, they couldn't do it. When they get up against Ohio State, guys, in three games, Texas did not get over 90 yards total in rushing in those three games against the toughest opponents that they saw. They still were in the Final Four. But those are outliers. Three teams out of the 24 that have found themselves into the playoff guys, only three of them have had issues of not running the ball. And when they couldn't run the ball, Bama got blown out, Oklahoma got blown out, and Texas was the only team that found a way to make things competitive. Well, they had to have a really stud-started defense, and they had to have a lot of really good wide receivers to do that. And I don't think that you're going to be able to do it. So you want to know about why they can, why LSU will make the playoff? It's because Lane Kiffin has found a way to be the most innovative guy in the country at running the football. There's a reason they led the SEC the last 6 years in rushing, and I think it's going to be a checkmark. I actually believe going into the season, it's going to be a massive checkmark for you going into the year of why I think you're going to make the playoff. It's something that I hang my hat on. You know, people have been asking me now that the SEC media days are right around the corner why I think LSU is going to be a team that could be a contender. It's because what I saw in spring, if that continues, they're going to be a team that no one is going to want to trifle with. Look, the second biggest narrative that I think coming into and out of SEC media days is going to be people talking about LSU will make the playoffs if LSU won't make the playoffs if you do or do not start out of the gate with your schedule really hot. Guys, LSU could find themselves being 4-0. They can find themselves being 3-1. They could find themselves being 2-2. If LSU is going to have a chance, if they're going to have a chance of making a playoff, at minimum, they're going to have to go 3-1 and start out of the gate strong. You're going to have to beat Clemson in week one at home. You're going to have to find a way to beat Ole Miss. You're going to have to find a way to beat A&M. And when I look at those situations, you can look at it from two different vantage points. You can look at it and say LSU has a really good coaching staff. They have a really good defensive staff, a really good defense. You have Lane Kiffin with Sam Leavitt and Dylan Jones and Jackson Harris and Tre'Davious Green with a really revamped and much better offensive line. They can find a way to go 3-1, which I completely agree. Because I could be wrong here. I am fading Ole Miss. I am fading Texas A&M a little bit because they have first-time play callers on the offensive side of the football. They have just as much to replace. I could make an argument from a Texas A&M standpoint. They have just as many, I don't want to say holes to fill. They have just as many questions as you do. Same with Ole Miss. But the narrative and the number two thing that you're going to hear is, well, man, if LSU can't start out of the gate in the month of September going 3-1, they don't stand a chance. And, guys, they're going to be right. You have got to show in the first month of the season that you're a contender. A lot of times, teams, because of how their schedules are able to be maneuvered, how their schedules are set up, most teams don't have to really show that they can be a contender until midway through October and into late November. You, on the other hand, potentially can be going up against a top 15 team in Ole Miss and a top 15 team, if not both of them being inside the top 10 in Texas A&M. You're going to have to find a way, and what could be, because I still think when the AP poll comes out, I still believe that Clemson is going to be ranked. Guys, you have three ranked opponents in the first month. So if you are not able to start off hot, you're not able to start off the season and being 3-1, no, I don't think you stand a chance. Do I lean very heavy that you're going to be 3-1? Yes. Do I even think that you have the opportunity to be 4-0? I do. But I look at the caveats as to why you wouldn't be. Because Trinidad Chambliss, whether we hate Ole Miss or not, their fan base is on coming after me, whether we talk about Texas A&M, guys, I look at Ole Miss and say Trinidad is very talented and can do a lot of things to beat you. They have a really good running back. They have some wide receivers that made a lot of plays last year. They have a lot of key pieces along their offensive line that return. I look at their defense, specifically in their front seven with Cam Franklin, Luke Farrelly, Eccles. They have a lot of pieces that help them defensively in that front seven that helped lead them to being into a Final Four. So I look at this and say, do you have a chance? Yes, but it's not going to be easy. The last 2 years, we have not had an answer for Marcel Reed. We have just not had an answer. So you're going to have to do things that you have not done the last 5 years under Brian Kelly. I think that you're going to be able to do it. It just comes down to a question. Like, I could see you beating Ole Miss and coming off of an emotional run against Ole Miss that you have no energy going up against Texas A&M and you're sluggish going into that game. I could see it. But you want to know about why LSU will make a playoff or won't make a playoff? Well, that narrative is going to be, can you start off the season red hot? Because you're going to have to do it to be there. Number three, we talked about this a little bit. I want to dive a little bit deeper into this. You cannot be a one-sided team. Not again. Do I think that if defensively you are better and you can help lead the team that you could get there? Yes. But see, I think you're going to be able to run the ball. Like, I don't know, and I'm not overly confident that you're going to be 4-0 coming out of the first month. But I look at LSU and say, guys, the reason I am so high on them, the reason you can say that this is rat poison or not, the reason I am so high going on, or I am on LSU going into the season, is that you're just not going to be a one-dimensional team. Have we seen one-dimensional teams be able to make the playoffs? Like last year, Oklahoma couldn't run the ball. Alabama couldn't run the ball. Yes. I just think you're going to be overall really good on both sides of the ball. There are going to be some that believe that defensively, because Mansoor Delane is not there, that you are going to take a step back. There are going to be people that believe that because you have to replace Bernard Gooden, Jacobian Guillory, Patrick Payton, Jack Pyburn, guys, you really are replacing your entire defensive line, that you could take a step back. You're not taking a step back. See, I look at LSU and say, people are going to believe one way or the other. Well, offensively, they're going to score in bunches, and defensively, they're going to have to catch up. I just don't think that you're a one-sided team. I do think people are going to paint you as being one. Well, Lane's here. He's going to sacrifice some defense for some offense. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because Lane told you about 3 months ago that if we play games today, we're going to have to call games cater to our defense because they're so much more advanced right now than we are. Is that going to change? Yes. I'm so high on you because I don't think you're a one-dimensional team at all. I think you have a great staff. I think you have a lot of talent. I think that last year your defense kept you in so many games and basically won you 7 games by themselves. Because LSU's defense won 7 games last year damn near by themselves. What about now? So I look at them and say, there are going to be people that come out and say, the reason LSU does make the playoffs is because they're really talented on both sides of the ball. And there are going to be people that say that you're not going to make the playoff, mainly due to the fact that they think on either on offense or defense, you're just going to be a one-sided team. And I just don't see that. I see you being one of the more complete teams in the SEC, if not the country. And I think in the first month, you're definitely going to show that. Number four, guys, you need luck on your side. Guys, if you're going to make a playoff, you need to have some luck. You know, every time that I think about a team needing luck and the ball to bounce their way for them to make a playoff or even win a national title, I do go back to 2019. I go back to Thaddeus Moss. Remember the catch that Thaddeus Moss had along the sidelines when he was out of bounds, came back in, reestablished that he was in bounds and caught the ball, and they called it a catch. And if they wouldn't have called it a catch and they would have reviewed it, they probably still would have called it incomplete. teams that win national titles need breaks. And one thing that we never talk about in the media or as fan bases, you know what we just never get to? We never account for injuries, but we never account for the ball just bouncing the way of a team. Guys, you can't equate for luck. This isn't the luck of the Irish. You can't account for it, but it's always there. And you know that. I think that last year, there were multiple teams that the ball just bounced their way. Speaking of Oklahoma again as an example, guys, how many times did Oklahoma have so many calls go into their favor? I think of the Auburn game when Cam Coleman got tackled before the ball got there and they didn't call pass interference. I think of the Ole Miss game, even though they lost, where Isaiah Satania caught the ball, ran 3 yards, and then got hit and fumbled, and they called it an incomplete pass. I think of Oklahoma versus Alabama when they had a fumble that was overturned, even though clearly the ball was coming out when I think it was John Mateer was fumbling the football, and they maintained possession, and they were able to score on the drive to ultimately beat Alabama. Those are three instances where I look at the ball bounced your way. You got the favorable call. If we don't, we're not going to be able to equate this. This isn't something that is going to be a talking point at SEC Media Days. But to some degree, I think LSU will be an exception of people talking about it. Now, there will be so many different areas that you can come with this. But I think if the narrative is that LSU comes out of the season in the first month starting 3-1, guys, look at the month of October. And when you go into some hostile environments, Kentucky will be hostile. Auburn will be hostile. You're going to need some luck on your side to be able to be in a situation where the ball is bouncing your way. I think of, speaking of Kentucky, guys, look at Texas last year. They needed two times in the end zone to be able for the ball to bounce their way and calls be overturned for them to literally go into Lexington and win. I think about this all the time. When is there going to be a time where a call goes in LSU's favor and you win a game that you're struggling in, that you're in a dogfight, that maybe you're not supposed to be in, and a call goes your way and you get out of there? Like, I think of Auburn a couple of years ago. I think of the Florida game, the shoe game, where your boy threw the shoe. Sometimes you need things to go your way. You never account for luck. If you're going to be a playoff team, you always are going to need the ball to bounce your way. So that's number four. Number five. I've seen a lot of people talk about Sam Leavitt this week. The real truth about all of this, LSU has gone through so many changes. They've got a new head coach. They got a brand new offensive coaching staff. Where you retain so many of your staff on defense, you have so many new pieces defensively. Even though I think those pieces defensively are upgrades. You have four new defensive linemen. You have another linebacker that will start. So you have four new starters along your defensive line. A new linebacker in TJ Dottery. You technically have a new quote-unquote starter at corner because Mansoor Delane's not going to be there, even though P.J. Woodland and D.J. Pickett were rotating in and out at the boundary corner. You have a new star in Deshaun Spears. You have a new safety in Ty Benefield. We can talk about all of those changes. On the offensive side, you got Jordan Seaton. You have Alaw Ball. You have, I guess technically you could talk about Bo Borderline being the new starting left guard. You have a completely new and revamped wide receiver core. You have a new running back that's going to be in the mix in Dylan Jones. And all of that is fine and dandy to talk about. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk about Sam Leavitt. It always comes down to the one things in college football. Coaches and coaching staffs that are elite normally find themselves being in the playoffs historically. They also find themselves being there because they have really good to even elite quarterback play. I look at the last two seasons, And some of these guys where they aren't elite quarterbacks, I look at the play and what they did. I look at Ohio State, Will Howard going 14 and 15 and a half to win a national title for them to win it. I think of some of the big throws, like I don't think Quinn Ewers is elite, but he threw a massive touchdown pass in two playoff games for them to win. I think of Notre Dame and Riley Leonard running up and down the field on Georgia, him scoring the first touchdown versus Ohio State for them to be able to go into a national championship game within striking distance. I think of Fernando Mendoza, who won a Heisman. I don't think Carson Beck is elite, but boy, he had a really good playoff. Trinidad Chambliss, Dante Moore, you name them. These coaches are there because of what their quarterbacks are able to do on the field. Majority of those guys have some level of mobility to be able to do it. Guys, this season of why you make the playoffs or not always starts at that quarterback position. If Sam Leavitt is who we think he's going to be, and there's so much talk that's going to be around him, well, Blake, why wouldn't you bring him to SEC Media Days? I even posted on social media today of why Lane is going to be bringing TJ Dottery. Sam Leavitt's going to have to be the quarterback that we all think that he can be. Because if he's not, you're not going anywhere fast. All of these playoff teams and all of this discussion going into SEC Media Days, what can Lane get out of Sam Leavitt? Well, that's a great question. The question I would ask, though, is when has Lane historically not been able to get the best out of his quarterbacks? Trinidad, Jackson Dart, Matt Corral, they all did pretty freaking good. We talked about the stats a couple of weeks ago. The last 6 years, quarterbacks at Ole Miss averaged 3,500 passing yards, 25 passing touchdowns, about 5 to 6 rushing touchdowns. They're averaging 3,500 passing yards, 500 rushing yards, and 30 touchdowns. So 4,000 total yards and 30 to 32, depending on the year, total touchdowns. Yeah, he's gotten the best out of his quarterbacks every single year by having and while having the number one overall rushing attacks the last 6 years. You make or break going to a playoff on the shoulders and back of Sam Leavitt. That will be it. So why you will, why you won't, it is going to come down to number 10 more than any other player because, as it does always in college football, the quarterback position is going to mean the most for many, many reasons. All right. I see that we have a lot of super chats. I see we have a massive super chat by Andy that just got thrown in here. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me get to a quick break. We'll answer those super chats. ABS system coming to college baseball. We'll get all to that next. Stay with us. Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotion. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to the website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority. Guys, I want to tell you about a good friend of the Drake Williams Law Firm, drakewilliamslawfirm.com. If you've been injured in a car wreck or have questions about a personal injury claim, call the Drake Williams Law Firm today. Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams represent injury victims all across the great state of Louisiana. Serving Louisiana families since 1981, whether you're in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, or the great parish of Tangipahoa, the Drake Williams Law Firm is ready to help. With local roots and statewide representation, give them a call right now. 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600. And when you do, you will get a free consultation. The Drake Williams Law Firm, where they've been serving Louisiana families since 1981. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
We're back!
We got some super chats in here that we need to get to. Go Baby LSU with a $2 super chat says, can't wait for them Tigers to kick some rebel arse. Me too. I feel like I say this every year, but like, guys, I thought that the Clemson game, I thought the A&M game last year, I thought the Ole Miss game last year were some of the bigger games. And because, look, man, Brian Kelly was on the hook and he got fired for him. I don't know if I remember a situation where there's a game that's been more anticipated for me than this one. I mean, and we played in national title games, right? I mean, 2019, obviously, that Alabama game in 2019, Jaden Daniels in 2023 versus that Florida State game, that Alabama game. I mean, two baseball national titles. I mean, here's the truth. The most nervous are pits in my stomach that I have had in covering LSU in the time that I've covered them. Game 3, College Baseball World Series versus Florida, going into the game, I had a pit in my stomach. I was nervous. I was a nervous Nelly, man. I was nervous. And then when Thatcher Hurd gave up a home run to Wyatt Langford, man, my tummy was rumbling. I'm just being honest with you. And then when LSU came out and put, 18 on that ass, I wasn't nervous no more. I wasn't nervous no more. That is going to be as anxious, I think, as I've ever been for a game, without a doubt. Ronnie Scott sends a $2 super chat, says, what about Glenn Dorsey? Name and jersey number deserves to be up in them rafters. He deserves it, man, without a doubt. No question. Andy Alexander with a massive super chat here, with a $100 super chat. DM me your address. But Andy says, I have a feeling they are all about a $100 super chat. Andy, you the man. You are the man. DM me your address on Twitter. He sends a $100 super chat, says, I have a feeling they are all about to be talking about how they have offensive weapons. We got like Bubba and Forrest. Talked about them shrimp. Got shrimp stew, shrimp gumbo, shrimp kebabs. You got popcorn shrimps. You got shrimp on a stick. You got shrimp stew, shrimp. Oh, shrimp etouffee. But yes, he says, hashtag go Tigers, savage attitude, pun intended, with your strength and conditioning coach being Nick Savage. He says, savage mindset and savage conditioning, all puns intended. Andy, you're the man. Let's give Andy a round of applause here. You're the man, Andy. And I agree with you. LSU's got a lot of weapons, and they're going to utilize every one of them. A lot of people have been talking about this wide receiver room. I'm pretty confident with them. Dawson Thompson, who's been a member for a month, says, Blake, getting in a little late. Any word on sales? Not from our side, no. At least not yet. At least not yet. Jesse O'Neill, who's also been a member for 9 months, says, any update on Gabe Rutherford possibly returning? Not really. I mean, he tore his ACL, March, April? Mark, let's just say April, May, June, July. August, September. I mean, if he really, really, really pushed it, maybe October, maybe even midway through, maybe, right? Like, maybe. I don't know. That would be tough. I mean, those kinds of surgeries are very innovative now and much more not as complex as when I had the patellar tendon graft. So I don't know. I'll check in on that. It didn't even really cross my mind, to be honest with you. All right, before we get out of here, let's get to this. So the NCAA is allowing the ABS system to become enacted in college baseball. I don't have a problem with it. Now, I'm just going to give round numbers. The SEC did that during their tournament. And I'm going to pull up the numbers here because I want to be actually accurate about not that I'm not accurate. I want to be accurate with every single little thing and just say the numbers as to what they were. So the SEC did the ABS system during their tournament this past year. 56% of calls were overturned. 63% came from the catchers when they called for a review on the ABS system of balls of strikes. Look, I don't have a problem with it. I know that people say that you should be in a situation where it's a part of the game. The reason that I don't have a problem with the ABS system coming into college baseball is simple. Do you remember this year when Cade Arambeady hit 4 home runs versus Tennessee? Well, he went 4-for-5 in that game. The at bat where he didn't hit a home run, he struck out on a ball 4 scenario and where it got Jay Johnson tossed because the ball was in the dirt, literally. Could you imagine a situation where Jay doesn't have to do that and Cade Arambeady can tap his head and you could see that's a ball and he takes a walk? Here's what it is going to do, though. So even when that whole situation happened and Jay Johnson got tossed, I mean, I'm sure it can provide some other instances where a guy tries to call for the ABS challenge and an umpire says he doesn't call it in time and a coach goes ballistic and gets tossed. Jay was in his right mind to go stupid on that guy behind the plate because you just had a guy who hit 3 home runs. I think he knows what balls and strikes are, right? And then he hits his 4th, which is insane that Cade Arambeady did that. As bad as SEC umpires are, I don't mind it. I think that number's actually going to go up. I think it's going to be better than 56% because players are going to take the entire offseason in utilizing that system so that they can work on it and perfect it and be able to utilize it in a better way. Because the SEC guys that did it during their tournament didn't ever practice it. They never went through it, and they got 56% of their calls right. By the way, catchers got 63% of the calls right. SEC umpires are ass. They're trash water. So do I mind it? Absolutely not. I would rather you take the 3 seconds. Guys, what was the I did it was like 18 seconds that it took to figure it out in total. It doesn't really make the game longer, and you get the right call. By the way, you had situations where some of these catchers were absolutely dialed in. What happens now when you're able to utilize it? It is going to be absolutely wonderful that this is in there for me. I am not a part of the keep it out of the game. Why don't we just get the right call? It doesn't take any time at all. What is going to change in college athletics, though, in baseball? Those heights are going to now be very accurate because the NCAA is making sure that physicians, and you have to get a physician to get your exact height. Players are going to start getting much shorter now Because if I say that I'm 6'3", and I'm really 6 foot, why would I want my zone to be that much bigger? So you're not going to want that to happen. So actual heights are going to be a big deal, and players are going to get much shorter. As bad as SEC umpires are, I'm completely for it. I saw Baseball America, by the way, did this thing where they said that the SEC may impose this rule where it is in Major League Baseball, where if you go to the pen, you can't just go like, you know, go two straight guys or three straight guys out of the pen. If a guy comes in, he's got to go for three. I would actually make that go to two, if you ask me. I don't know if that's been fully enacted yet, but we will see. We will see. All right. We're out of here. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Clean up the week. Until then, y'all have a good night. Peace out, Girl Scouts.